ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो विल बी रीडिंग फ्रॉम भगवद गीता एज इट इज। वेलकम टू ऑल द डिवोटीज हु आर हियर एंड दोज हु आर ऑन द ईथर प्लेटफॉर्म, दैट मीन्स द रेडियो लैंड, दे आर ऑल्सो वेलकम। सो विल बी डिस्कसिंग टेक्स्ट नंबर, आई डोंट नो व्हाई 13th इज ओपन, बट आई वॉज इन्फॉर्म्ड 14.8, सो विल बी डिस्कसिंग 14.8। यू हैव भगवद गीता, देन यू कैन चैंट विद मी और आफ्टर मी। श्रीमद भगवद गीता एज इट इज, Chapter 14, The Three Modes of Material Nature, Text Number 8. Tamastu Jnanajam Vidhi Mohanam Sarvadehinam Pramadalasya Nidrabhis Tannibadnati Bharata तमस्त्वज्ञानजं विद्धि मोहनं सर्वदेहिनां प्रमादालस्य निद्राभीः तन्निबध्नाति भारत। इफ यू वांट यू कैन चैंट, यू कैन चैंट। तमस्त्वज्ञानजं विद्धि मोहनं सर्वदेहिनां प्रमादालस्य निद्राभीः तन्निबध्नाति भारत। तमस्तु ज्ञानजं विद्धि मोहनं सर्वदेहिनां प्रमादालस्य निद्राभीः तन्निबध्नाति भारत। माताजी, तमस्त्वज्ञानजं विद्धि मोहनं सर्वदेहिनां प्रमादालस्य निद्राभीः तन्निबध्नाति भारत। वर्ड मीनिंग्स, तमः द मोड ऑफ इग्नोरेंस, तु बट अज्ञानजम प्रोड्यूस्ड ऑफ इग्नोरेंस, विद्धि ही नो, मोहनम द डिल्यूजन, सर्वदेहिनाम ऑफ ऑल एम्बॉडीड बींग्स, प्रमाद विद मैडनेस, आलस्य इंडोलेंस, निद्राभी and sleep, tat, that, nibadnati, binds, bharata, O son of bharata. We might feel strange, why when I can just speak the word and meanings, why the person has to chant back, because it purifies us more, isn't it? I can just say nidrabhi and sleep, that, that, but why a person has to do a call and response fashion? Because it actually purifies us. Every word of Bhagavad Gita purifies our consciousness. So, anyhow, we'll not do that with the translation and purport, because that will elongate the class so much. I'll just read myself. Translation, O son of Bharata, know that the mode of darkness born of ignorance is the delusion of all embodied living entities. The results of this mode are madness, indolence and sleep, which bind the conditioned soul. Purport. In this verse, the specific application of the word tu is very significant. This means that the mode of ignorance is a very peculiar qualification of the embodied soul. The mode of ignorance is just the opposite of the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, by development of knowledge, one can understand what is what. But the mode of ignorance is just the opposite. Everyone under the spell of the mode of ignorance becomes mad, and a madman cannot understand what is what. Instead of making advancement, one becomes degraded. The definition of the mode of ignorance is stated in the Vedic literature. Vastu yathatmaya gyanavarakam viparyah gyana gyanakam tamaha. Under the spell of ignorance, one cannot understand a thing as it is. For example, everyone can see that his grandfather has died and therefore he will also die. Man is mortal. The children that he conceives will also die. So death is sure. Still, people are madly accumulating money and working very hard all day and night, not caring for the eternal spirit. This is madness. In their madness, they are very reluctant to make advancement in spiritual understanding. Such people are very lazy. When they are invited to associate for a spiritual understanding, they are not much interested. They are not even active like the man who is controlled by the mode of passion. Thus another symptom of one embedded in the mode of ignorance is that he sleeps more than is required. 6 hours of sleep is sufficient, but a man in the mode of ignorance sleeps at least 10 or 12 hours a day. Such a man appears to be always dejected and is addicted to intoxicants and sleeping. These are the symptoms of a person conditioned by the mode of ignorance. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Sri Guruve Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We shall try to discuss few things on this shloka. First thing is, why the mode of ignorance is a peculiar qualification of embodied soul, as explained by Srila Prabhupada in the purport. By embodiment, we must understand embodiment doesn't necessarily mean conditioning. Just because a person has a body doesn't mean that he is conditioned. Only when he is influenced by ignorance is he called a conditioned embodied soul. It's very important to be understood. We have heard the example of dry coconut and a wet, or you can say raw coconut. So the person in delusion, as you say moh, means he considers what he is not as what he is. That means we are not the bodies, but he considers himself as body. Well, he means I cannot say for others, but definitely I am thinking of myself as my mind and my body. So only when we are identifying with the body, when we are in the body, can we really be called as dehi or conditioned by the body. Very nice example which Srila Prabhupada gives is that when a person is in the car, especially a businessman, he is aware of the situation of the car, the condition of the car. But his mind is absorbed in the purpose for which he is using the car, for going somewhere. So it may appear that there are two kind of people who are in the car and they are of the same consciousness. But because of their absorption and a different goal, they are different. Iha yasya harer dasare karmana manasagira nikhilasu api avasthasu jivan mukta sa uchate. Nikhilasu api avasthasu, in any condition, a living entity who even desires to serve Krishna is to be considered liberated. That's very interesting. Even if he desires to serve Krishna, that means he is unable to serve Krishna, but simply desires to serve Krishna, he is not conditioned. Conditioned soul's qualification, if you use the word qualification or disqualification, as you can say, is doesn't want to serve Krishna. So a person who wants to serve Krishna, not necessarily can serve Krishna, or is he serving Krishna. If he simply is desiring to serve Krishna, he is to be considered liberated, as quoted by Srila Rupa Goswami. So it is interesting that this mode of ignorance is born from agyan. So we must understand agyan refers to a sense of competition with the Supreme Lord. I'll repeat this point. Agyan means a sense of competition with the Supreme Lord. Now, I think you may disagree with me. I don't feel any competition with the Supreme Lord. But to the degree we feel that we are proprietors, to the degree we feel we are controllers, to the degree we feel we are even the so-called well-wishers, or we have the ability to do good to others separate from Krishna, to that degree we are accepting in our consciousness, we use the word what Prabhupada uses here, embedding our consciousness in ignorance, then thinking that I am God. Subtle or gross ways. So you understand that concept of competition? So to that degree we understand Krishna is the proprietor, Krishna is the controller, Krishna is the enjoyer. To that degree I'm not a competitor at all. And that's the condition of a liberated soul. And nobody has to answer this question to anybody. He has to answer this question to himself. When I see an object, anything, do I see what thought first comes to my mind? To enjoy it? Or to, oh, this is very good, I can offer it to Krishna. So if that is happening by the process of sadhana automatically, then we are really moving towards liberation. Otherwise, ignorance. We are still, influenced by ignorance. And how to understand it is destroyed, the sense of survivorship towards the Lord is increased, as I've just now mentioned. We preach many times, and it is true, that sense gratification will not satisfy us. You agree with us? Yes. But my dear Prabhus, devotional service will also not satisfy you. Now that you might have not ever heard that, but that's the nature of Krishna consciousness. The more we will advance, the more we will be unsatisfied, in the sense we will see, I am not serving Krishna enough. But the difference is, the sense gratification burns my consciousness, leaves me unsatisfied. Krishna consciousness gives me joy and makes me unsatisfied. You see, that the way unsatisfaction is generated is a little different. Well, it's okay, quite different. As you can see, I always give this example. Arjun has to fight the battle. Basically, the conch shell was blown. The war has begun. But in the 10th chapter, he says, my dear Krishna, you are explaining your glories to me. I don't feel satiated. Please keep on explaining your glories. You see, he is enjoying hearing Bhagavad Gita. When after, let's say, 30 minutes or after half an hour, or let's say, 1 hour after, he has to fight a great battle, which is a question of life and death. So that, from that point, we can understand the situation of Arjuna and the nature of pure devotional service, Shravanam Kirtanam. Now, second question is, modes are not visible to us. Can we see? Do we see strings pulling us? Do you think my hands are being pulled by somebody? None of us. When you move your head like this, do you feel somebody is pulling strings? No. How do we identify the modes? Now you see the fan is running, the bulb is illuminating. So do you see the current? What do you see? The effect of the current. That's very important. Similarly, Lord Krishna here in this chapter is explaining the symptoms and effects of different modes, but in this particular case, mode of ignorance. Somebody says, I chant Hare Krishna and I feel sleepy. So he understands, he is influenced by, yes, I will not say anything. Maybe some of you feel offended, oh, why he is saying like this, but so we see in the beginning, if we are influenced by mode of ignorance, we have to be at least be humble about this. I am in actually ignorance. I mean, I'm not ignorance, but I'm influenced by ignorance. I must do something. I must fight with it. And Prabhupada appreciate, at least passionate person is better than an ignorant fellow. Suppose I'm chanting Hare Krishna and my mind is going all the places. That's better than sleeping in Japa, because the holy name will not come out at all. How will we get purified? So when I'm completely influenced by ignorance, my situation is not to sit down and chant. I should fight with passion. Using passion. With goodness, at that level, you cannot defeat ignorance at that level. So, how to identify which mode is active? By symptoms. And Lord Krishna is explaining this very nicely. In ignorance, there will be sleep, excessive sleep. Try to understand this point. Excessive laziness, because some amount of laziness is always there in our body, but excessive laziness will be there. And procrastination, something which can be done tomorrow, day after tomorrow. Like, I can finish my 16 rounds in the morning. No. Mala is not going to run away. No, maybe afternoon, evening, like that. So procrastination. Even it can be a devotional procrastination. Definitely I must surrender to Krishna. Definitely I should give my full energy to Krishna, but not today. It is better to do it tomorrow. Like that. This is all ignorance which comes in our heart. I should definitely read Bhagavad Gita. Not today. Tomorrow. So that's how Maya procrastinates. Causes us to be influenced by ignorance. Now, another question is there. If by my previous karma, I am influenced by mode of passion and ignorance, definitely I will be attracted to those activities which are actually primarily in passion and ignorance. So what is the solution for me? So that's very interesting that nobody is a 100% case. We must understand. That's a very good thing. What I said? Nobody is a 100% case. That means it's not that one person is completely in ignorance. Although sometimes to chastise a person, we say that you are completely in ignorance. But it is not like that. Nobody is completely in ignorance. Nobody is completely in passion. Nobody is completely in goodness. Most of the cases. When I'm saying nobody means most of the people. People who are transcendental to that, they are definitely don't have influence of the modes. But those who are under modes, they have a competition of different modes going in their consciousness. This example is lioness. Lioness is primarily in lion. You understand lion? So in ignorance, passion. But it has so much affection for cubs. Little some goodness is there. You see, even in animals. Then Hiranyakashipu was primarily in passion. And ignorance also, but mostly in passion. But sometimes he will keep Prahlad Maharaj in his lap, and he will smell him, his head, and be very affectionate to a pure devotee. So you see, by these small activities, person gains some credits. Sometimes it's like small opening. The door is dark, but sometimes there can be a streak of light, or at least some part during the day. Interesting is that also example of Kansa. You know, when Kansa saw that Mother Durga was born to Devaki, he had so much respect for Devaki. You know why? Because he was thinking, my worshipable deity, Durga ji, is the daughter of Devaki. Oh, she must be a very great person. So then he immediately begs forgiveness, and then he begins to speak Bhagavad Gita, second chapter. Oh, all of us are influenced by, second and third also, we are influenced by karma and like that. So you see, certain amount of goodness comes in his consciousness, and he does some good activities. So a living entity influenced by different modes, these modes, may tend to do some good activity also, and in this way accrue some sukriti, by which he may eventually meet a pure devotee. So what happens? How do we come out, at least come up to mode of goodness? What happens with goodness is, it helps us to know what is good for me. Okay? And then I can act on it. two things. Goodness, I know what is good, and I will do what is good for me. So a person in passion and ignorance, what will happen with him is he will be attracted to Shastra which have been written for him. This is path one. And then a person in ignorance will worship ghosts and hobgoblins. And a person in passion will worship Yaksha, Rakshasa or some political leaders. And this is a small joking sentence is there that one person asked me, if somebody calls my name one time, two times, three times, we will pay attention. But after a while, we become annoyed. Why are you calling my name again and again? So why Krishna becomes more pleased? And why does he say that you please chant again and again, or you chant my name 24 hours? So I asked to a senior devotee and he gave a very nice answer. He said, first of all, you must understand, don't try to bring Krishna on to the level of a material person. First of all, that you have to understand. Second, the funny answer which he gave was, in a political election, when the followers chant the name of that political leader, the more they will chant the names, the more the political leaders become happy. So it's not that even our name is called again and again and we don't become happy. But main thing is that Krishna becomes happy. But that's a different point. What I'm trying to say is that a person in ignorance will worship those deities who are for them, and they will follow Shastra which is for them, and by that, following that rules and regulations of that Shastra which is meant for ignorant and passionate people, they will make a gradual elevation in their consciousness. So in a way, we should not criticize them. Although Lord says that if they can accept Krishna consciousness, then it's good. But otherwise, their too much criticism is not good on our part. Then we will be seen as fanatic people. Because even if you give them instructions, their consciousness doesn't allow them to accept that. Try to see them as a helpless person who is so ignorant that he can't understand what you are saying. Or he's so passionate that he cannot understand, accept or digest what you are saying. That's like a simple concept that we are not the bodies, at least theoretically. Everybody can understand who has some goodness. But others will simply reject the idea. So instead of developing a negative attitude towards them, we can give them prasadam and leave their philosophical part. Maybe Krishna someday will allow them to understand. And you see how Prabhupada had preached. For maybe I think 1 year or so, he was simply giving them prasadam and giving them some philosophy, but they were not understanding. But because they develop an attraction and love towards a pure devotee, then they make immediate advancement, which we'll discuss. And those who are influenced by goodness, they can be impersonalist, being attracted to the impersonal Brahman, or they can be worshipper of demigods, as explained by Lord Shri Krishna in the 16th chapter. So, in this situation or this path, the cleansing agent is the injunction of Shastra which they follow. And that is the only cleansing agent. This path, which is the gradual elevation path, is that they follow Shastra, and slowly, slowly from ignorance to passion to goodness they will come. As Lord Shiva explains in the fourth canto, 24th chapter, he explains to Prachitas that a person who worships Lord Brahma for 100 lifetimes, he becomes eligible to worship Lord Shiva. And then they attain Lord Shiva and they go back to Godhead along with Lord Shiva only after destruction. But those who worship Lord Vishnu, they immediately go back to Godhead. That's what exactly he says. So we can understand that demigod worshippers slowly, slowly make progress towards goodness, and then their attraction toward higher deity will be aroused and they will worship that accordingly. Now, path two. Path two is take to devotional service and receive the mercy of a pure devotee. And this is the fast elevation path. You understand our question? The question is how to progress from ignorance to goodness and thereof to nirguna platform or pure platform which is free from modes. So what are the cleansing agents? The cleansing agents are the navavidha limbs of bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Sparanam, Padam, Sevanam, and like that. And it's very interesting shloka which comes in Srimad Bhagavatam. Nevam vidha purushkara urukramasya pumsam tadangdi rajasa jita shad gunanam chitram vidur vigatah sakradada dita yannam dheya madhuna sajahati bandham. So, it is this shloka refers to the glorious activities of Maharaj Priyavrata, who actually made a whole new sun by the wheels of his chariot, by the depression of the wheels of his chariot. Actually, he made all the oceans. That's very surprising. So then Sukadev Goswami says, don't be surprised. He is a person who has actually controlled his senses, he has controlled the urges, and he surrendered soul to Krishna. What he cannot do? Just imagine, a person who is vidur vigataha, that means who is not even within the four varnas, ashrams, no chance, completely untouchable, even if he once chants the holy name of Krishna, he becomes freed from the bondage of karma. So what I was trying to say, why I quoted this shloka, the potency of devotional service to purify our consciousness is very extremely, extremely very high, provided if we can do it offenselessly. And even if it is with offenses, it gradually purifies our heart. And even that is much faster than so-called demigod worship. Not so-called, the demigod worship. So, second cleansing agent is the mercy of a devotee. Why do we take initiation? We can chant Hare Krishna. Diksha purascharya adi apeksha na kare jivha sparshe achandale sabako dhare. That the holy name doesn't expect for formal initiation, and simply by touching the holy name with the tip of the tongue, a person is liberated. So very, very deep point to be understood. When a person takes initiation from a pure devotee, the pure devotee naturally thinks, this person belongs to me. You want Praman? When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu initiated Sanatana Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami had initiated Sanatana Goswami in Allahabad, gave him the name Sanatan, in Kashi, Varanasi. And then after a while, Mahaprabhu comes back to Puri, and then Sanatana Goswami comes to meet him during his travel in Jharikhanda forest. He has some disease on his body, and he is thinking of giving up his body. And what does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? Says, he comes to meet him and Haridas Thakur, and he says to Haridas Thakur, you see, this person has given, wants to destroy the property of somebody else. Is it a behavior of a gentleman? So it's very interesting. And the other devotees are glorifying Sanatan. Sanatan, you are so glorious. Mahaprabhu considers your body as his very own, and he wants to do something through your body. So what I'm trying to say, from here we have an evidence, when the spiritual master gives initiation, naturally he thinks, this person belongs to me. And second thing is, he prays. Even if he doesn't pray, he just simply desires, oh, he should progress in Krishna consciousness. He's trying, so such a sincere person. It's interesting, because a pure devotee is sincere, so he always sees sincerity in us. So he will, by his that desire, that is the main ingredient in our advancement Krishna consciousness. Jasya prasada bhagavat prasado, you know that very well. So to explain it in a different way, a car which is used for training driving, it has two steerings. You know, not in India, but I heard in West it's like that. So the person who is being trained has a steering, and the other person who is training has a set of brakes and clutch and steering. So if not steering, at least clutch and brakes, so that he also has control over the car. So if something goes wrong, he is also involved in controlling the situation. So this is very important, that this cleansing agent is very, very, very helpful in advancement of a Krishna consciousness. So what are the two cleansing agents? Somebody remembers? The limbs of bhakti and mercy of a pure devotee. Example, person of in ignorance who was cleansed by this process is Mrigari. I don't need to explain because you know all that. I do not go into the story. Mrigari was completely in ignorance, but he was cleansed by Narad Muni. Yes, but don't you now, can you appreciate that Narad Muni was desiring that this fellow becomes a devotee? That is the mercy of a devotee. And why he desired, you know that? Because he offered himself, please help me. From that point onward, Narad was desiring his welfare. Same thing, Haridas Thakur, you remember? Lakahira wanted to make him fall down, but desiring her welfare, he said, I could have left this place. I was knowing this foolish Ramchandra Khan's intentions, but just to deliver you, desiring your deliverance, I have stayed here. Same thing, Nityanand Prabhu, when he was chased by Jakai Madhai, not beaten, first day they were chased, they came and they give the report, and Advaitacharya says something very deep. He says, because you have desired their deliverance, that means referring to Nityanand Prabhu, so definitely we will very soon see that they are coming and dancing with us. And that happens just the next day. So that's very interesting, that desire of a pure devotee is extremely powerful. Somehow or other, by our endeavors in executing Krishna consciousness, if we please a pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada and is their representative, then our advancement in Krishna consciousness is, you can say, automatic. Then nothing has to be done apart from that. A person in passion who got the mercy of devotee, Dhruva Maharaj, he was passionate. But again, Narad Muni, and he was very much endeavoring in bhakti, definitely. But Narad Muni was also desiring that he should get the darshan of Krishna. Okay? And a person in goodness who got the mercy of Krishna, Hariyashwasas. They were sent by their father to execute, their father's name was Daksha. And they were 10,000, maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's, yes, 10,000. So they went to do austerities. So that means they were in goodness and they were doing goodness, austerities, not ignorance and passion. And Narad Muni came and he did not give them any instruction. You know what he gave? He gave them riddles. And he didn't explain them. And if you actually see the riddles, it's very difficult to understand. But they understood in a right way and they didn't come back to their home. They just left and they became brahmacharis, went back to Warren. So he was so sharp. So we see mercy of pure devotee can elevate person from ignorance, from passion, from goodness. And we are somewhere. So we can also be elevated. And this is nicely explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Second canto. Kirata hunandra pulinda pulkasha abhir shumbha yavana khasadaya yenyecha papa yadapashtaya asraya shuddhyanti tasmai prabhavishnave namaha. Supreme power of the Lord is explained here. A person who takes, what is that? Said that kirata huna andhra pulinda pulkasha, that means any person of most abominable race, most ignorant and passionate person born in such a situation, he can be purified. And he says, and of all addictions to sinful acts, by taking shelter of the devotees of the Lord. And this is there because it is the supreme power of Lord Vishnu which comes through the channel of pure devotees and gets delivered to the people. Just like a wholesaler makes a big products, many products, and he delivers through the retailers. You understand? Dealers and then retailers. Similarly, this is the Nama Hatta, the marketplace of the holy name, and Nityanand Prabhu is giving this. And amazingly, that we are the dealers and retailers. Some may have a smaller shop, you understand? As some may have a big house. Some may open a Walmart And some may open have small shops, as a khomcha we say in Hindi, kiosk, but they can deliver the same goods. Very nicely, when Sannyasi has mentioned, you can give Krishna consciousness even if you don't have it. You may disagree with me, but I give an evidence. It's a very interesting statement. You can give Krishna consciousness even if you don't have it. That means, you see, in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, his mother was not very advanced, but she says she must have heard the sadhus who come to house, and definitely she might have served them, that Lord Vishnu is supreme. So she was not very Krishna conscious. Yes, she was definitely Krishna conscious, but not like Narad Muni. But by giving that nice instruction, simple instruction, go and search for Supreme Lord, she could at least pave the way for for Dhruva Maharaj to become fully Krishna conscious. Sometime it may happen, the person who was giving the book, he might have not read the book also. But the person who gets it, he will read it and then become a nice devotee. So sometime it can happen like that. Sometimes. Mostly, the more we are Krishna conscious, the more we can help others also. That's the thing. Prabhupada makes a striking point. Goodness and ignorance. Goodness and ignorance are completely opposite. In goodness, we can understand things as they are. And in ignorance, we think exactly the opposite way. How? We'll discuss, and this is the last section. How a person, when he's influenced by ignorance, how he will treat Krishna. Very small example, and by that you can understand how we are influenced by Krishna. Krishna is a mortal human being. You see, when he was... I'll explain this, don't fight with me for that. I'll explain, I'm just trying to say what these people are saying. So person who's in ignorance, they will say, Krishna is a mortal human being. Yeah, he did some tapasya, so became elevated in consciousness, he became enlightened, he was blessed, and that's why he could speak Bhagavad Gita. So it appears they are actually glorifying Krishna, but they are actually blaspheming him. Because they are bringing Krishna, who's transcendental, to the material mundane platform. And it is because of their ignorance, as Prabhupada says, a poor fund of knowledge. Poor. That's what you can buy. If you have less money, that's what you can buy. Ignorance you can buy. So, the communist people will say, all this Shastra and religion is an opium for people to forget their miseries and all those things. Well, if it is an opium, it's better than actual opium, isn't it? If you actually forget your miseries by chanting Hare Krishna, it's better than taking an intoxicant. But what they think is, taking an opium, which so-called kinds of makes us forget our misery, is same as chanting Hare Krishna, which actually removes our misery. That is ignorance. One time in a college, one fellow told me, you chant Hare Krishna, we sleep, same. Now, what do you tell to such a person? Just don't tell anything. If they will say, we are killing animals for eating, you are killing plants for eating. Same. So this is their ignorance. Then you can say, why don't you kill a child also and eat? So we see that by ignorance, a person's ability to appreciate even simple knowledge gets completely covered up. And third thing is that there is no need to follow any rules and regulations. Everybody's understanding is good. Whatever you feel is good. Whatever you feel like is good. This is all ignorance. Or whatever path you take, you will reach to that destination. But it's interesting that they never tell which destination they will reach. Have you heard that? In Hindi they say that, kuch bhi karo, wahin pahunch jaoge. But they never tell kahan pahunch jaoge. That is ignorance. Naturally, when we go to a particular destination, we take a particular path. This is all ignorance. Now, how goodness is there? Same concept. I don't know Krishna. Tell me, do you really know who is Krishna? It's a very challenging question. Why? Because Krishna is Sachidananda. Do you know what is Shashwat? You know that? Do you have experience in conditioned stage? No. Do you know what is the meaning of Gyanmay? Ta? Gyanmayta? having a body which is full of knowledge? No. Do you know what is the meaning of having a body which is full of bliss? No. We must be honest, we don't know. But we have faith on those who know it. It is interesting that how Bhagavatam was revealed is all revealed literature. When Vyasadeva was instructed by Narad Muni to speak only about Krishna, he actually concentrated his mind and then he saw Lord Krishna, who was the controller of Maya. He could realize that thing. When Brahmaji says Ishwara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha, he is not reading a text. He is realizing that. There is a lot of difference when Brahmaji originally spoke that, Brahma Samhita, and when I speak. But a person in goodness will accept. I don't know. But it's very reasonable to accept the acharyas who have been accepted by so many people and who have a proper standing in society. Like Shripad Ramanujacharya, Shripad Madhvacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. All these people have a very great standing in society. So it's better to put faith on them and accept them. That's reasonable faith. Instead of trying to be ignorant and then let me follow. Some things you can see that also, just like a person on goodness will immediately understand. Once if he hears, oh, are you this body? Were you born the way you look like now? Everybody will say no. And do you still feel that you are the same person? Yes. Sometimes in my preaching experience, people can't understand this second question. When I ask them, have you changed? They say yes. Because they are identifying with the body. Now say, technically speaking, if they have changed, how can this say that I have changed? To experience the change, there has to be a person which doesn't change. Are you able to understand? Just like you were outside, now you are in a room here. You are experiencing a change of atmosphere because you have not changed. The observer has to remain constant to experience the change. Now those subtle things just don't enter into their mind. Can't think it. So this is all because of ignorance. Now a person has some goodness, then he can understand those things. And then it will click to him. Oh, they are actually, it makes sense. So these things I can understand. As Prabhupada here says also, my father has died. The children are going to die. The wife is going to die. Everybody is going to die, including myself. Why should I endeavor so much for money and fame and all those things? Why should I not endeavor for something which is of permanent value, which is Krishna consciousness, even if it is not palatable at the moment? So, one very prominent feature of goodness is that it promotes faith in Shastra, Sat Shastra, like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. When we chant Hare Krishna, even if we are more, you know, grossly ignorant, sleeping also, but somehow that if we continue doing that, you know, at least try to remain awake, then by the process of chanting Hare Krishna, Chetu Darpan Marjanam, the heart gets purified of baser modes. And if you keep on reading Bhagavad Gita, you will see that not only you will understand, there is one level, but our faith will be very much there. When Krishna says, Neha Bhi Krama Nashasti, all the endeavors in bhakti never go in vain, it will inspire our hearts. That will happen when we are tending towards goodness. Otherwise, we will doubt whether Krishna, always, whether Krishna will protect me or not protect me, like that. So, the nature of goodness is that it reveals knowledge in our heart. I'll say something about consciousness because it has to do with modes also. In Bhagavad Gita, consciousness is explained as the awareness of I am. So, please hear carefully. I'll seek some answers from you. You must have, in the exams you have written, fill in the blanks, questions, okay. So between this I am, not between, after this, I am, and there's a fill in the blanks. So a person in mode of ignorance, what will he feel? If he get in the exam, I am, what will he feel? I am this body. I'm an Indian, I'm American. So this is a person who's basically influenced by ignorance and passion. A person who has little bit goodness, more little bit towards transcendence, he will say, I am soul. Is it right? Yes. Okay, this is right, but is it completely right? Be very careful. I am soul, and I can also think I am also God. So then, next answer is, I am a servant of Krishna. Is it right? Is it completely right? What is the missing thing? No. I am an eternal servant of God, because I am a servant of God now, but after I become liberated, I'll become God. So you see, there's a different level of consciousness, progression of consciousness. According to that, we have a conception. A person may do bhakti, but have a conception, I'll become God. That's like, you know, all the pastime of that Ram Das who was coming. I will not go into the pastime, but he was coming with Raghunath Das Goswami and constantly chanting Ram, 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 and very serving also very enthusiastically. But when he comes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very lovingly, affectionately embraces Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, but neglects Ram Das. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was pleased by even a cowherd boy who will just jokingly say Hari Bol, he was neglecting Ram Das. Why? Because in his heart, Ram Das was thinking, I'll become Ram by chanting Ram. So you see, the exact answer is, I am an eternal servant of Krishna. So why there are different answers? Because of influence of different modes. Just like you can see this light, this white light originally. Now you cover it with green paper, what light will come out? Green. Blue paper, blue. And if you cover with yellow paper, it will. So originally the consciousness of the soul is pure, and by that pure consciousness, naturally that awareness is there, I'm a servant of Krishna. And that happens when we chant Hare Krishna. Cheto darpan marjanam bhava mahanda vagni nirvapranam. Do you understand what is the meaning of this? We clear consciousness, clear our consciousness, and according to our clarity of consciousness, the awareness that I am a servant of Krishna, not a competitor of Krishna. I am a servant of Krishna, not only servant of Krishna, I am an eternal servant of Krishna. I nandatanuja kinkaram becomes manifest in our heart. And then that is the solution to all our problem, because the biggest problem in this world is fear. And that fear happens by the sense of competition with the Lord. Bhayam ditiya bhinivesatasyat. Ishad apetasya vipariyo smriti. So this problem gets solved by the purity of consciousness. We have 5 minutes. If you have any question, then I can take up, or I can just finish this, and then if you have that, I'll say. Relationship of consciousness with the faith of the people. As I've just mentioned, consciousness propels your faith. I'll repeat this word. Consciousness, or the purity of consciousness, will propel your faith. All of us have faith. Faith is the property of the soul. It cannot be taken away. But if I am influenced by ignorance, passion and goodness, I'll worship different people, different deities. Now, I'll give a question. You may not raise the question, I'll raise the question. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained that Krishna can also be worshipped by people who are in ignorance, passion and goodness, and also on the transcendental platform. So now the question is, if a person is ignorant or influenced by ignorance, he should worship ghost. Why is he worshipping Krishna? And what is the difference between these two kind of ignorant people? A beautiful answer by a very senior devotee. Very nice answer. You see, a person who's influenced by ignorance and worship a demigods, his activities are in ignorance. Okay? A person who's influenced by ignorance, but by the mercy of an association of Vaishnavas, he worships Krishna, activities are of transcendence. A person in passion worships yakshas and rakshasas, activities are passionate. A person in passion worships Krishna, activities are transcendental. I will explain what does it mean. Same thing with goodness, same thing in bhakti. So now, I give an example. Tomorrow everybody will go to Mangalarati. Hopefully, everybody will come. So everybody will have different experience of Krishna Balaram, Gaurantai, Radhesham. Everybody is coming at 4:30. Everybody is paying obeisances to Krishna, which is following the instruction of Krishna. But everybody has different experience. Somebody is just trying to remain awake during Mangalarati. Somebody is planning all throughout, what he has to do all throughout the day. You understand the symptoms? Passion, ignorance. Somebody is peacefully, oh Krishna, may this is very nice, I could come here. and somebody may be very ecstatic, oh, Krishna Balaram is there, you know, spontaneously having love for Lord. So all these four people, are they doing a different activity? Yes or no? Are they doing different activity? No. Are they having a different experience? Yes. Because of their consciousness. But the good thing is they are doing the same activity. So the purification will be very fast. But the other people, that means who are worshipping demigods and other lower deities, their purification is very slow. Because the activity itself is in ignorance and passion and goodness, so to say. So very beautiful answer which that devotee gave. I was very happy to share with all the devotees. And that's what Lord Vishnu says, Yadrishi Yadrishi Shraddha Siddhir Bhavati Tadrishi in Brahma Samhita 5.61. According to our level of our faith, we get reciprocation from Krishna. So I'll finish here. We have 5 minutes. If you have any questions, we can take up. Any questions? Yes? I don't know where the mic is. But before the Prabhuji asked this question, the beauty of Krishna consciousness is you may feel I am not progressing day by day. But if you keep on endeavoring and try to read Bhagavad Gita, try to have good association and have good sadhana, after 4 or 5 years you will actually see we think so differently than what we were thinking before. So this is very purifying. Yes, true.
Yes. Just like coming from Mangalapur, giving the example of
yes.
Seeing this in the world. But those who are outside, they don't do this in the island, especially in India, because all worshipping different duties. But those who are coming to the morning program and attending the program and they are seeing Lord, maybe the consciousness is somewhere else or mind is somewhere else, but they are getting the benefit, they will go.
Yes, that's what I said. Because the activity itself is transcendental. Just I give you a very simple example. Somebody comes to take prasadam and he says, oh, so nice prasadam, and he eats up to here. Passionate fellow. But will he get karma? No. Because he's actually coming in contact with prasadam. And somebody in goodness will say, I should take balanced way. And a person in nirgun platform will say, oh, this is Krishna prasad, and he will become filled with love by taking prasadam. Yes. So I'm saying, activity, at least nobody will get any karma from that. And obviously, and so much purification is there. Eventually.
Yes, sometimes I have to do the purity. If there is no purity, and you cannot go with that.
Prabhupada says that in very interesting. Yanti Deva Vrata Devran, you know that shloka? In Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter, it says a person who worships demigods go to demigods, a person who goes to worship Pitras, they will go to Pitra. So Prabhupada says very interesting. He says, a person who worships me ultimately comes to me. What does the meaning of ultimate? Because going back to Krishna is guaranteed. But ultimate means we need to get purified. Just think it in a very... I will twist it over. If I don't perform bhakti, where I am going? By default mode in Kali Yuga? Hell. Isn't it? This is a very wrong way of... very gross way of preaching. But we understand, if we were not coming... if we don't practice bhakti, naturally we will be sinful. So now if I practice bhakti, suppose even if a person doesn't go back to Godhead, even one life, then what's the problem? Next life, how much credits you have? Even if it, I'll give one sentence, this is very encouraging. Even if you take 100 lifetimes to attain Krishna, every lifetime will be better than the previous lifetime. Do you understand this point? Because endeavors are never going in vain. Don't you feel doing bhakti has become easier than when actually you took to bhakti, one round was difficult, then 2 round, then 4 round, and 16 rounds, like that. So, and by Prabhupada's mercy, we can go back also. But we are never at loss. That's what I'm trying to say. So we should never think, actually it's interesting. Prabhupada says in that shloka, Vyavasayi Atmika Buddhi, a true disciple should not think whether I'll become liberated or not become liberated. You should simply follow the instruction of the spiritual master, and actually to the degree he follows strictly, he is actually liberated. It's very interesting.
This is the point only I wanted to know.
Yeah.
That whatever we do, that we are getting the benefits.
Yes, yes. And you see, Prabhuji, the most nice thing which I am seeing is so many devotees leave their bodies on Ekadashi. So many. I mean when I was in Kirtan Mela, 5 devotees left their bodies during Kirtan Mela. I heard just now in our temple one devotee left body, I think this January, while distributing Charanamrit. I don't know his name, but later on I came to know. So we see that Krishna never forgets any service which we have done to him. So this is very encouraging. We have not met a person who will say, give me a glass of water and I'll sell myself to you. Have you met any person like this? Are you like that? Am I like that? No, Krishna is like that. And also, you see, you know the pastime of Sudama? So Krishna was so shy. This person has given his whole energy by giving me that rice. He was feeling very shy. I'm not giving him anything. But he had made his palace before Sudama could reach there. So you should have that faith when Krishna is doing with that. When another Sudama garland maker, when Krishna Balaram went there to Mathura first time, he just offered him a nice garland. Said, okay, you'll be very happy materially in this life and go back to Godhead after leaving the body. One garland. And if you offer Krishna every day garland, then you will not go back to Godhead, yes? I'm interested, definitely you'll go back. So even simple services, Krishna always appreciates. So we should have, that's why I was telling to one devotee, he said, Prabhuji, I'm losing enthusiasm. I said, when do we have enthusiasm? In our life, we have enthusiasm and we have appreciation. Isn't it? You make some bhoga, some prasadam, and devotees appreciate Prabhu, very nice. Then you feel enthused. Now, we don't get that appreciation from Krishna. Yes or no? Yes, because we are not able to talk to Krishna, at least in a conditioned stage. But Krishna comes in the form of Shastra and he encourages us. Like in 12th chapter, he says, any person who takes to the path of devotional service, remember, takes to the path, not completes the path. He takes to the path of devotional service is very, very dear to me. So you see, he's speaking, but we have to hear. Suppose I give a class. Now suppose, I don't know if you like or not like, suppose you say, Prabhu, class was nice and I block my ears. Then will I hear that appreciation? Will I be enthused? No. So Krishna is speaking in Bhagavad Gita to enthuse us. So we must read it and get his appreciation and become enthused. That's the whole point of hearing Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavad. Okay. Yes. If Muslims can get benefit, then why a person who's chanting Hare Krishna regularly will not get benefit? Yes, ajamilo api. It's mentioned that if ajamil can go back in the same life, then why cannot we? Okay, any more questions? Okay, we shall stop here. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.